the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. So let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus, the joy.
God made lots of things to grow. Have you ever planted a little seed? Little seeds can grow into big gardens.
Take a little carrot seed, put it in the ground. Water it and pull the weeds. Let the sun shine on your seed. You will see a little sprout. When it's grown, you pull it out. Now you have a carrot, and it started with a seed. Take a little flower seed, put it in the ground. Water it and pull the weeds. Let the sun shine on your seed. You will see a little sprout. It's grown, the bloom comes out. Now you have a flower, and it started with a seed. Take all kinds of little seeds, put them in the ground. Water them and pull the weeds. Let the sun shine on your seeds. Soon you'll see all kinds of sprouts, vegetables and flowers grow out. Now you have a garden, and it started with some seeds.
Singing about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
We better hurry.
worry, Paul. The ship is ready to sail for Assos.
It's only a short distance by land, Luke. I think I'll walk. Huh? You brethren go on that ship. I'll meet you in Assos.
Well, do you want someone to walk with you?
Oh, no, Luke. I'd rather be alone. I need time for meditation and prayer. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of our Lord Jesus, Creator of all things, I come to thee with a burdened heart. Give me special strength and grace to withstand the difficulties and dangers connected with my visit in Jerusalem. O God, help the church there realize that my ministry to the Gentiles was commanded by thee, that salvation is not just for the Israelites, but for every kindred, tongue, and people. Help other gospel workers that their labor may lead to... My brothers.
Greetings, Paul.
Well, how was the voyage?
Oh, nothing unusual or exciting. Fair winds and a nice ship. And good news. A ship is about to sail for Miletus. I've already secured passage on it. Yeah, we're about opposite Ephesus. It's over in that direction, about 30 miles away.
I had thought of stopping there a while. I have important instruction and counsel to give the church. But we better hasten on if we hope to be at Jerusalem in time for the day of Pentecost.
I just wanted to tell all you passengers that there's going to be a longer stay over here in Miletus than we thought. Probably several days.
This may be your opportunity to see the brethren at Ephesus, Paul.
I doubt if I dare take the chance of leaving. Oh, I know. I'll send a runner to Ephesus asking the elders of the church to come here.
Are you one of the elders of the Christian church?
I am.
Well, Paul is at Miletus on his way to Jerusalem, but the ship he's on is going to be there several days. He sent me to ask you and the other elders to come to Miletus. He said to tell you that he hardly dare come here because he knows not exactly when the ship will sail.
You tell Paul we will be there just as fast as we can get there.
Look, Paul. Isn't that Mailer with that group?
It is. Oh, those are the elders from Ephesus. How did they get here so quickly?
Well, come, let's go and meet them.
Oh, I'm so glad you could get here before my ship sailed. I've thought of you so often. Tell me, how are the brethren in Ephesus, and is the church progressing?
I think the church is growing stronger, though, of course, we do have problems. I wish you could stay with us for a time. Wouldn't it be possible, Paul?
No, Mailer. I feel impressed that I should be in Jerusalem for Pentecost, but I hope you will remember all the things I've told you. I want each one of you elders to remember that it is your responsibility to feed the church at Ephesus. Your own example must give no occasion to dishonor God's name. After my departing, grievous wolves shall enter among you, not sparing the flock. Remember to test all men by the scriptures. If they speak contrary to the word of God, there is no truth in them.
With God's help, we will try to be good shepherds to the flock.
So now I commend you unto God, and I bid you farewell, for I do know that you shall see my face no more.
Farewell.
They all accompanied Paul to the ship and said goodbye. And the ship set sail for Kos, then to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. At Patara, they changed ships for one that sailed to Phoenicia. The ship anchored at Tyre, where the captain made a surprise announcement.
We have to unload much cargo here at Tyre, so we'll be here about a week. I hope all you passengers enjoy the stay. You'll find almost everything here for your entertainment and pleasure.
I hope we can find some believers and spend the time with them.
There is a small company of Christians here.
Well, we'll look them up.
They found a few disciples with whom they tarried 7 days.
Elder Paul, we urge you not to go to Jerusalem, for we know how the Israelite leaders lie in wait for you to do you bodily harm.
Your concern for me is touching, and I appreciate it, but I'm not going to allow the fear of affliction and imprisonment to keep me from seeing the brethren and disciples at Jerusalem.
Continuing their journey southward, the travelers arrived at Caesarea and entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, and abode with him. Here Paul spent a few peaceful, happy days, the last of perfect freedom that he was to enjoy for a long time.
There's a man from Judea, name's Agabus, a prophet. He's at the door asking to see you.
Of course, I'll see him. Glad to.
Come in, Agabus, sir.
Greetings, Elder Paul.
Greetings, and peace be unto you.
Will you please hand me your belt?
Well, certainly. But why?
Thank you. With this belt, I bind my hands and feet. The Holy Spirit says to me, so shall the Israelites at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this belt, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
This man is a prophet of God, Paul. He speaks truth. You had better not go to Jerusalem.
I agree with Luke. It's dangerous. Stay away from Jerusalem.
Don't. What are you doing? Begging, crying like this, and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be tied up in Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus.
The Lord's will be done.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
There's crickets and tadpoles, turtles, by the old holler log. There's spiders and fireflies, earthworms that crawl down by the creek bank, by the old holler log. God made the animals, both great and small, but I guess my favorite ones of them all are crickets and tadpoles, turtles and frogs, down by the creek bank, by the old
with Sam. I'm Sam here on the school playground to learn more about health. Let's talk with Jason, the captain of the soccer team. Jason, what's the secret of your amazing success?
I never kicked the ball.
How do you keep from kicking the ball?
By letting other people do it.
But how do you explain the fact that your team wins so many games?
Everybody else is really good at kicking the ball. All I have to do is say, hey, go over there and kick the ball. And they do. Works great.
So you run around the field.
Right.
Shout at your teammates.
Right.
Never kick the ball.
Right.
And win the game.
Weird, huh?
Let's talk about you. You seem to be in such great shape.
Running and shouting takes a lot of energy. You can burn a lot of calories doing that. I'm sure kicking the ball takes a lot of energy too, but I wouldn't know.
So what I hear you saying is that to be in good shape, you need to do a lot of moving, running, shouting, stuff like that?
When we score a goal, I jump up and down. That's good for me. And when we win a game, we all bump into each other and slap our hands together. There's 100 calories right there.
Do you have any interest in any other sports?
Baseball. I love baseball. Just one problem.
Let me guess. You can't hit the ball.
I'm planning on being the world's first professional pinch runner.
This is Sam with Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Some kids think their parents make too many rules. Clean your room, make your bed, pick up your dirty socks. But God says when you obey and respect your parents as the leaders of your home, then life will be better for you.
Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you.
Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord has commanded you. That your days may be long, that it may be well with you. Has commanded you.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6.
And Romans 10:9-11 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 5, The Secret Tunnel. I don't know if I'm more mad or scared, Jenny said, First, the Bible disappears right in front of our noses. Then the house key disappears. Now someone took my new watch. This is really strange, Dee Dee said. Who was here but Marcus, Mom, and the two of us? And we were either in this room or with them the whole time. I think we have a thief in this house, Jenny declared, and I vote we call the police. And tell them what? That someone stole an old beat-up Bible, a key, and a kid's watch while we were awake in the same house? I don't think so. Well, what do we do then? Jenny put her hands on her hips and stared at her friend. Let's keep exploring, Dee Dee said. This house has a lot of secrets. Maybe whoever's taking our things is using the secret passage. Maybe we can catch them or find where our stuff is hidden. Okay, Jenny agreed. Let's start with that closet. I just know it's hiding a secret passage. Dee Dee grabbed the old chair from the corner. We need a chair to reach the ceiling, she said. Help me move this one. Together, Dee Dee and Jenny dragged and pushed the chair into the closet. When it was in place, Jenny dug through her suitcase and found the flashlight she had brought along. She stepped onto the chair and reached up as high as she could, but she still couldn't quite reach the ceiling. What now? She asked. Dee Dee thought a moment. Let me get on the chair with you. I'll boost you up to the opening, and you can look and see if there's anything up there. After Dee Dee climbed onto the chair with Jenny, Jenny lifted one foot and stepped into Dee Dee's cupped hands. Dee Dee lifted her hand up until Jenny's fingers could just reach the edge of the hole. Hold on for just a second, Jenny said. She lay her flashlight on the upper edge of the dark hole and grabbed the opening with both hands. Now push! Jenny, the chair's leg looks awfully wobbly, Dee Dee said. You'd better hurry up. Just as those words left Dee Dee's mouth, she heard the sound of wood cracking. Suddenly, there was no chair under her. Eek! Dee Dee screamed. She fell against the side of the closet, then hit the floor. I think I'm okay, she said, but the chair is in pieces. Are you okay, Jenny? Dee Dee looked around, but didn't see her friend. Jenny, where are you? Up here, Jenny answered. She was still hanging from the hole in the ceiling. How do I get down? Hold on just a second, Dee Dee said, pushing the broken chair out of the way. Now drop. Jenny hesitated a second, then dropped to the floor. The two of them looked at each other and giggled. Why did you come back down? Dee Dee asked. I thought you would climb on through. Well, while I was hanging up there, I realized that if your grandmother was a girl like us, she probably couldn't climb into her ceiling like this either, Jenny said. The opening had to be easier to get to than this. Maybe we are doing this the hard way, Dee Dee said. We've got the diary. Maybe it tells us where the secret passage is. Her words were answered by a rolling sound. Both girls looked up at the hole to the attic just in time to see Jenny's flashlight roll away from the edge. Then they heard it drop somewhere. Well, now we have no flashlight, Jenny said. Dee Dee and Jenny went back to the diary. They flipped through many pages that were faded and impossible to read. Then they opened to August 1. I sneaked in to see Captain Morgan tonight. He is a good man. I believe that. He's done bad things before, but Daddy is reading the Bible with him every night. His wound is getting better, and soon he will be able to go outside. A week later, Dee Dee's grandmother had written, August 8. Tonight, Captain Morgan told me about a bad thing he did to a black family down in Mississippi. He burned their house and killed the daddy. He is real sad about it now, especially because Daddy told him that other white men burned our house before. Captain Morgan said he loves Jesus now, and he wants to do something for this family. Finally, the girls found one more entry that was not faded. August 11. I lost my Captain Morgan, but Jesus will take care of him now. I will miss him. Henry did stay with us like Captain Morgan promised, but he had to stay in the cellar. Daddy says, if people see Henry, we will get in trouble. I sneak down to see Henry every night. I love Henry, but I love Captain Morgan more. Goodbye. There were no more entries in the book. Dee Dee closed the diary and rolled over on the bed to look at Jenny. So Captain Morgan did die, Dee Dee said. How sad! It sounds like Grandma really loved him. They must have taken him down to the river and killed him like we heard. Who's Henry? Jenny asked. The diary talks about Henry staying in the cellar. That's the basement, Dee Dee said. That's what I thought, Jenny said. But who was there? Maybe Henry was one of Captain Morgan's... Another sailor, maybe? I don't know who Henry is, but I do know I am getting tired, Dee Dee said. Yeah, if I had my watch, I could tell you how late it's getting, Jenny said. But I don't. We'll look for your watch tomorrow, Dee Dee said, yawning. And for Henry. The girls put their pajamas on, said their prayers, and climbed into their sleeping bags. "Good night," Jenny said, switching off the light. "Night," said Dee Dee, yawning again. Jenny lay awake, listening to the wind blow through the branches of the old oak tree outside the window. Then she heard another sound. It sounded like fingernails scratching slowly across a chalkboard. Something squeaked. Jenny sat up suddenly. What if it was a rat? "Dee Dee, Dee Dee, did you hear that?" Dee Dee's response came back slowly. "Did I hear what?" Jenny was wide awake. "I heard a rat. At least it sounded like a rat." Dee Dee rolled over. "I didn't hear anything. Now go to sleep." Jenny took a deep breath and lay down. "I was sure I heard a rat," she said, mostly to herself. Jenny was just about to drift off to sleep when she felt Dee Dee shaking her awake. "Jenny, listen." Jenny shook the cobwebs out of her mind and listened. Off in the distance, she heard a tearing sound, then a muffled voice, then something banged. Jenny turned over and looked in Dee Dee's direction, and immediately she noticed something strange. "Look," she said, grabbing Dee Dee by the shoulder. The two of them looked across the wooden floor to the base of the far wall. Where the wall and the floor met, a line of yellow light shone toward them. "Where's that coming from?" Dee Dee asked. "There's no door on that wall." "It must be my flashlight that rolled around in the attic," Jenny answered. "It's inside the wall. It's showing us where the opening to the secret passage is." Jenny and Dee Dee crawled across the floor on their stomachs to peer into the tiny crack where the light shone through. Dee Dee studied it closely before she finally said something. "Look, there's a little door here. It's been wallpapered over, but if this is the bottom of the door, it should open if we pull it. Here." Dee Dee dug her fingernails into the wallpaper at a point about a foot above the floor. The wallpaper pulled apart easily, and the hidden door opened. Dust and cobwebs greeted the girls, and Dee Dee coughed a couple of times, but immediately they saw Jenny's flashlight shining at them about 8 feet down the narrow crawl space. "Well, what are we waiting for?" Dee Dee said. "Let's follow it and see where it goes."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.